Good morning, good afternoon, good evening and good night, Fancy Sauce Show listeners. This is episode 2 of season 3. I'm here with Jordan Bolton.
Salam alaikum.
John Beebe.
Hello.
And myself, Ollie Coles. Hello. So we wanted to kick off talking about the current affairs of this week, and I think there's nothing more appropriate to talk about than Oscar Pistorius and Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the two kind of go together hand in hand.
They do, because I was thinking it's really nice of him to have taken his girlfriend out on Valentine's Day.
I like what you did there.
Thank you.
The amount of jokes that came out the day after that, like actually on Valentine's Day, was just ridiculous.
It made Valentine's Day a lot more interesting.
It did for me, definitely.
It was a little bit mean, though. I mean, like, clearly he hadn't bought her anything, so he thought, I'll just kill her.
Just kill her, take her out. Or either that, or he was absolutely legless the night before.
But what annoys me about the whole thing is that I saw your post, Jordan, on Facebook about Cupid being on your doorstep and you're going to get all Oscar Pistorius on them. And I didn't really know what was going on, so I did a little bit of kind of like just Googled who he was and then saw obviously all the headlines and stuff. Yeah. But honestly, in the last week, the story of what's happened, apparently there's now like a blooded cricket bat that's turned up.
Really?
Yeah. Have you not heard about this?
No, I read one article that I thought was quite scary, and it was like a... someone who'd heard, who lived in the complex, and they said they'd heard 3 shots, and then 10 minutes later, they heard 3 more shots. So, like, self-defense?
Yeah.
Really?
I think people are just making things up now, because yeah. I've also heard that they found a bullet shell in a bedroom, right. And then she was supposedly shot in the bathroom, yeah. But also her head was caved in.
Yeah. But also, like, the fact is like, apparently she was sitting on the loo when she was shot.
Yeah, what? I mean,
like,
surely
what was going on in that house? Like, this is what I mean. It's like, I think the press have just gone mental. About
yeah, surely it's just another example of the press making up bullshit to try and sell papers, because it's Oscar Pistorius and everyone knows his name because he's the Blade Runner. So they just talk absolute utter drivel, and we read newspapers and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, surely the police, upon arrival that night, must have been able to work out what had gone on. You know, was she wearing shoes? If she was, then there's a chance she did come in through the bathroom.
You should be a detective. Did she have shoes on?
But also, what's she doing going in at 4 in the morning?
Yeah, or maybe she was out with her other boyfriend.
Quite possibly.
But also, have you seen this whole thing that's come out about, like, it's the story of Oscar Pistorius through all of his ex-girlfriends, and apparently he's a complete psychopath?
No.
And then today I saw in the Evening Standard that the quote was, Oscar nearly shot me in the foot, and apparently 2 weeks before he'd unloaded a gun in a fucking restaurant.
Well, apparently he's big into his guns, I heard that.
Yeah, apparently when he can't sleep he goes to a gun range.
Yeah.
I was like...
He sounds like a bit of a psycho, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit, but he's South African, so aren't they all?
Yeah, true, but he lives in quite a... I think he lives in quite a nice estate, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's
white.
But
apparently it's still
he's white.
Yeah, that's basically how it is in South Africa.
Is that how it works?
But apparently it's still illegal to own guns.
Still legal?
No, illegal. It's the same as here. Like, you can't just have fucking loads of guns.
There's more guns in South Africa than there are people.
Yeah, probably, but they're not legally allowed to have them. This guy's a celebrity.
They're legal, but they just have quite strict gun, like, laws to get weapons. So, like, okay. You have to have quite in deep
So tests. It's not like America where buy a Big Mac, get a gun on the side.
No, it's not that bad. The tests that you have to pass to get a gun are much more stringent than they are in America, okay. But I'm pretty certain they're legal.
No, I think they're legal like they are here, but you have to have a license and everything like that. But yeah. Like, you can't own a handgun.
Yeah, you can.
Here?
Yeah. No, here you can't. Jesus beams. Let's just be really clear about what we're talking about.
No, but it's because a mate of mine who's South African was telling me that the laws are almost identical to here.
Okay. So but here you can't have a handgun at all, really.
No.
And in South Africa, you can have handguns.
Are you sure?
99% sure, yeah.
Okay. I'll believe you because I just listen to people and then believe it's fact.
So with all of the shit that we've heard from the press, what do you think? Do you think he did it intentionally?
Yeah. Or I don't think it was premeditated. I think he just saw Crimson and just went mental for a bit and ended up killing her. Or they had an argument because she didn't buy him a rose. Or
I've like really aggressively ignored everything about it because it just annoys me the way the newspapers use other people's pain to sell stories. Mm. Like the fact that, I don't know who it was, like the Daily Mail or something, they had a huge picture across the front of her in a bikini the next day.
It's wrong,
No, that was because there was a TV show that she'd been on similar to like Celebrity Love Island, mm-hmm. In South Africa. and there was a, it was aired 2 days after she died.
Okay.
The producers of that must have been like,
yeah, ka-ching,
just winning. But
maybe
yeah,
they framed Oscar. Maybe they did it themselves as a publicity stunt.
But yeah, so she was on Swimming with Dolphins in that TV show. That's what I think the story was about. But again, like, okay, what's
it's
that
still,
got to
it's
do
still
with,
a
like,
bit inappropriate though, isn't it? She's just been killed the night before and show
her in her pants.
Yeah, I mean, nice to look at, but then you imagine what she
has. Wasn't she on the either the front page of the Sun or like page 3 of the Sun or something like that? Like,
well, she's a page 3 girl.
I don't know. No, I don't think she, but I think page 3 girl are all from like Leeds or like Wigan.
What are you trying to say?
They're just, you know, people that don't have anything else to do.
Diplomatic. So just to remind everyone, this season we're going to be talking about ridiculous technology that we've found, and I can kick off this week, but actually I don't think it is that ridiculous. I think it's kind of cool.
Go on.
It's a vibrating tattoo. It was patented...
Where do you put that?
I think you need to put that into context.
So it was patented by Nokia in 2011, and it's this ferromagnetic material that you can have tattooed into yourself, and when your phone rings, your tattoo can vibrate. And actually, I think that's kind of useful and kind of cool. Like, I might get one of my tattoos overdone with this material so that I could, like, feel it vibrating every time my phone was ringing.
Okay, so hang on. What, is this a permanent tattoo, or is it something you can just put on and off, like a nicotine patch?
I think it's a permanent tattoo, but I don't actually know. I might be talking absolute bollocks.
If you did do that, surely your mates would just ring you all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or you'd just get a tattoo on your knob.
Yeah. Or just around the rim of your arsehole.
I don't think Nokia would be very happy about that.
No, neither would the tattoo artist.
They might have patented the idea, but is it safe?
Like, I would assume so.
How does it work? Like, I mean, if it must have sort of radio frequencies going to it.
I guess so.
And you're going to put that into your skin.
And also, one thing that wasn't clear is that how it knows that it's your phone that's ringing. Because if you were, like, at a football match... Surely you'd just be constantly vibrating from all the phones.
It must be connected
time.
To your mobile, though.
So what, you're going to have some program where you sync it up?
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon if I was to have this, I'd probably put it on my balls. Because then it would tickle. But also, when you're having sex, it would just be like, phone me. Ring me now,
exactly.
This is going to be fun
for
you.
This is what I was thinking, that like I think that it would be completely abused, as most technology is. And girls would just get tattooed on their guava.
Yeah.
And then just tell their boyfriend, like, call me.
Yeah.
You would, like, going out to dinner, you'd just be constantly calling them, being like, ready?
Wait, surely an easier thing with this would be like a kind of a neoprene or very, very thin kind of armband or something that you could take off when you don't want it, rather than getting something that's absolutely permanent.
But I suppose that's not too dissimilar to having a phone in your pocket.
Yeah, but
if you're doing housework, then you can leave your phone in your bedroom and go and do some shit. And then you're just alerted when your phone rings.
And it becomes like a spidey sense. You get this, like, amazing ability to always know when someone's calling you.
Yeah, but you have that anyway with the armband.
Yeah,
but made from the same material.
It would look a bit lame if you're walking out with an armband. They were like, what's
no,
that?
No, but it's like skin tight. It's like Lycra.
Is it? Does it exist?
No, I'm just saying, why don't they just do that? That you could then go, actually, you know what?
Because if I walked into a bar and I went, Biebs, look at my armband... It vibrates when my phone rings, you'd be like, you're a fucking loser. Whereas if I went, call me, look at my tattoo, my body's vibrating, you'd be like, holy fuck!
No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, you're a muppet, because technology's going to advance and you're not going to need it anymore, and then you've got this tattoo that's probably...
But how is technology going to advance better than that?
Because we'll probably get phones inserted into our faces.
Dude, just get the tattoo on your face.
I think
anyway, look, that is debatable whether it's good or not. This, my one, is ridiculous.
Okay.
It measures how much sellotape you use in the office. So every time you use it, it comes up with, like, and it totals it up over, like, a period of time.
But to what end? To, like, tell the person, well done?
No, this is my point. I don't know what the point of it is. Maybe it's in case, like, you know, like, people nick stationery all the time?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that, and it's like, Jordan, like, what are you doing? Are you making sellotape balls again? Because you're bored, and you're just making sellotape balls and throwing them at Brian.
I reckon it's for that situation when you're in the office, and you say to someone, has anyone got any sellotape I can borrow? And they go, yeah, but only 2 centimetres.
Yeah. And I'm logging how much you use.
Yeah.
So it's for really anal office managers.
I think so.
Well, it'd be quite interesting to see how much like companies lose on stationery a year. Like how much you're supposed to be using.
I would argue that it's not enough to invest in digital sellotape measuring devices. Like, I think that the investment in the device to measure how much is being stolen is probably about the same as the amount that's getting stolen anyway.
Yeah, most likely.
Do you know what I mean? And surely there's things that are slightly more valuable that are getting nicked, like staplers or printers or screens.
Yeah, just attach chains to every bit of stationery so no one can nick it.
Well, surely you could have a digital stapler as well, though, which actually monitors how many staples are in there. So again, if someone said, mate, I've got loads of stapling to do, could I borrow it? Yeah, mate, one only. And it just counts down to how many you've got left.
I don't know
if it exists, but I'd rather have that.
So over-engineered. It's so unnecessary. Like, which really intelligent guy who can put this kind of machinery together is pissing around with sellotape?
Yeah, but I saw another one that I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a hammer that has a camera on the end, and it works out how many hits you've had because they've invented shatterproof glass for the end of it.
Okay.
So you can use the hammer normally. Again, I don't know how real this is. I think it was pretty much photoshopped. But again, if it does exist, it's ridiculous. And it tells you how many times you hit the nail and how many times you hit your fingers.
Oh my God.
What? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I've got one that's equally as ridiculous this week. It's, well, I don't know what it's called, but basically it's a pair of metal detecting sandals. Which saves you walking around with a metal detecting machine. It's got a little black box which you attach to your leg, and that goes down to the flip-flop, and so whenever you're approaching metal, it starts beeping.
Yeah, but how many people actually use metal detectors? Like, honestly, use metal detectors?
Yeah, there's not a big market for it.
There's a couple in California that you see in the morning that go up and down trying to find, like, money on the beach.
But that's it, right? Because I always imagine that people are using metal detectors either on a beach or in fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think flip-flops are really field.
No, but they're good for beaches.
But beaches, it makes sense, right? So what you're saying is, like, you're trying to hide the fact that you're an utter nonce walking up and down beaches looking for coins that people have dropped.
Yeah, you've got a little metal detector attached to your leg.
Yeah,
and it's beeping if you walk past anyone wearing a ring.
And how, like... How much do people, like, how sensitive are the flip-flops?
I don't know.
As in, are they really sensitive so that it covers a wide range? Or do you have to, like, wave your foot over the sand as you walk and create some, like, Ministry of Silly walk as you go down the beach?
Yeah.
And then it's pointless anyway if you're trying to disguise that you're a freak.
I'd wear them in London, and I'd just go up and down the escalators and really piss people off with beeping noises.
But I just think... Like, it was like those over-engineered flip-flops that had a bottle opener in the bottom of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, if they were, like...
A bit gimmicky.
Really gimmicky.
Not only a bit gimmicky, but who the fuck wants their bottle opened by the fucking sole of someone's foot?
That's so true, dude.
The filth they've been walking in across London, they're like, oh, I've got a bottle opener, it's on the sole of my foot. It's like, yeah, I'd like to lick your athlete's foot.
I just think some of this stuff, like... Especially kind of shoes. I think it all kind of came from like the original kind of Bond gadgets, you know, when he had like, you know, a GPS in his shoe.
That, yeah.
You know, GPS hadn't
Well, I saw, invented. Like you saw this hammer thing, I saw a shoe which has in the sole of it a place to put a CD, and then it's got speakers coming out of the ankles.
That's kind of funky though.
It is,
you'd be a bit of a baller.
Surely you have to walk really flat footed.
Yeah, so you don't jog the CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, when you've got MP3s, what are we doing putting CDs in?
Yeah, and whose feet are big enough to have an entire CD go in the heel? Surely you'd have to
an
have
elephant.
Like big clown shoes. Yeah, an elephant.
Elephant shoe, perfect.
Boogieing along to some hip hop on the savannah. And now, question time.
Mm-hmm.
Question time.
So my question this week is around persistence of a human being. So I'll start it off by asking the question, are you the same person as you were at the start of this podcast?
Yes. What, 15 minutes ago? Yeah, I think I'm probably the same. Oh, well, no, actually, I'm not, because I've learned some things.
Yeah, I've learned some.
I've learned about flip-flops and bottle openers and flip-flops and other retarded things like that.
And you think that makes you a different person?
Well, it makes me a slightly different person because I've got different knowledge.
But there is... There is something about you that persists over time, surely, no?
No, but is you're constantly evolving. not, I don't mean like physically, well, you are physically evolving as well, but I don't mean evolving like in the true form of evolution, but everything that you learn, everything that you read, everything that you see will slightly change your outlook on something. And that's why some people can maybe have, like, they'll see one thing and it'll completely change them, whether that's a religious experience and they become a, you know, a Bible basher, or whether it's they see someone getting mugged and then decide they're going to, you know, dedicate their whole life to helping
people mug people.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's kind of assuming that you are the sum total of your experiences. Because to take the question a bit further, it's a biological fact that the cells in your body, every 8 years or so, all the cells in your body are actually replaced.
Mm-hmm.
When you were 10 years old, you didn't have the same cells in your body. None of the cells that you have in your body right now were alive at the time. But you are still you.
But surely you're just essentially your DNA. That's what you are. And your DNA stays the same.
But then if you're your DNA, then how are your experiences having any effect on changing you?
But that's just a mental side of it. But like talking about cells and physical side.
Yeah.
That your DNA is in all your cells.
So which is you? The DNA or the experiences?
So it's basically...
Or a combination of both.
Or is it body versus mind?
Well, I think to a certain extent it is a body versus mind question.
Has anyone ever done a mind transplant?
Well, actually, that's one of the... This is like a philosophical question, and one of the ways of explaining the problem is that if your brain was taken out and put in George Bush's head, would you still be you in George Bush, or would that person be George Bush and you would still be the body?
Well, I don't know if your beliefs, like if your knowledge, so I, as soon as I went in, as soon as I woke up,
mm-hmm.
then I'd go, why am I, you know, why am I in Texas? I'm supposed to be at the Fancy Sauce show recording in an hour and a half,
uh-huh.
and then come back here, or and then carry on living my life. So I physically changed,
mm-hmm.
but I was still the same person.
Would you say, I believe that fish and humans can coexist peacefully?
No.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, because the difficulty is that if over time you're constantly changing, then which part of it is the you that persists over time? Because from experience, you can say for definite that the person you were when you were at play school was you. Mm-hmm. And there's been a progression of states that has led you to be the same person now as you were back then. You might think slightly differently, but there's something about the two things that is the same. There's a you in there somewhere.
But I think that it has to be your kind of mental...
Your brain and your memory.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that actually the one part of your body that never gets replaced is your brain cells. Because all your bodily cells, except for your brain cells, are replaced every 8 years or so. But your brain cells, you only ever have a certain amount, and they just slowly deteriorate over time, but they never are replaced. But then the difficulty is that if you could map all of your mental experiences onto a computer and then print it onto two different people, which one would you then be?
But you can't do that.
If you could, Beebs, it's a philosophical question.
Can you ask that again? If you could
map all of them, every single micro experience of Oliver Coles,
yeah,
and then you could print all those experiences into two separate brains,
yeah,
which one would be you as you are right now?
What? And you're replacing the brain that you're taking them from, putting them into two different.
You're mapping
brains.
It into two people.
Well, would they not be the same people?
But then, what would then you suddenly have experience of being two people at the same time?
Well. No.
It would start from fresh there.
Yeah, they would then go, right, I have prior knowledge, but everything...
And
because
I'm
obviously,
gonna,
if you put Colsey... No, let's use you, because you're better physically. So they put them...
What's
two,
that supposed to mean?
I don't know, I'll get to the point.
What?
If they put two... If, so
I
they
am
pick,
better physically.
They pick two bodies to put your brain into.
Right.
One of them is a giant. Mm-hmm. So one of them's me,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then the other one is basically an NFL... like American football player, mm-hmm. right? So just hugely physical, like sporting, whatever. And then
is that supposed to be the opposite of me?
Yeah. Well, look, you're never going to play in the NFL. You might get into midget NFL if they invented it. You'd be like the tallest guy in it.
Okay.
But my point is that then from there on in, you'd have a totally different view on life. Like that body, those two bodies would have totally. Do you still exist, by the way?
Well, that's my point. The problem is all about the persistent existence of a human over time.
Well, it would be
surely one of them would have to be you, but it would have to be both at the same time.
No. Well, both of them would have your memories and your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but because they are two different people, they'll probably go off in two different directions.
But which one would actually be me as I'm experiencing right now? Which would I carry on as?
You would carry on as both, but you wouldn't be aware of it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be aware of each other. There's not some weird connection.
It is a duplication of you.
Yeah.
But then the actual me, because I know there's one of me.
Well, there's not anymore. As far as you know, there's only one of you, even in this case. Because I think you're duplicated and you go off and you do your own thing.
But Jordan,
the only knowledge that you have, unless you know that your brain has been mapped out and put into two different people, then you would think, shit, I'm one of them, who's the other one?
Jordan, how do you know, okay, more importantly, how do you know this hasn't already happened? And they've already started cloning you, but then wiped your memory of ever going into these bodies.
But one thing I do know is that I, as an entity, I've directly experienced my existence over time.
Okay,
look. And there's a line from the moment I became conscious to today. And although I might forget certain parts of it, there's a me with a capital M that has persisted over time.
All right, well, I reckon, actually, what would happen is you would wake up and you would look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm not me anymore. Because you've got memory of who you are and what you've looked like and where you've been,
mm-hmm.
but you are in someone else's body in a completely different situation.
But the you that did no longer believe that you were you would still be you. That's my point. And that you would still say,
so you
yesterday I was a different person, but there is still something that's persisted.
So you would exist in two different people, but you wouldn't know about it.
In either of them.
But you wouldn't know about the other person, but you would believe that you are you with slightly changed features and in a different circumstance. Does that not make some kind of sense?
I have no idea anymore. I basically just think, one, it can't happen right now.
But it's less kind of saying, is it possible to map me into two people, and more kind of what I'm trying to get to the heart of is, what is it that allows this direct experience of existence to persist over time, and where is it based? Is it in the brain? Is it something cellular?
Because there's two different, like we said, there's DNA that lasts in your body, that's the body part, mm-hmm. and then there's the mental part. Now, if you copy that, again, similar to like if you copied an entire hard drive of a computer mm-hmm. and put it into two other computers,
mm-hmm.
okay, it has all the prior knowledge of that computer, but then whatever someone does with it, i.e. puts new files on, deletes files, whatever, they will eventually become two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're saying, now, which one is it? There's two of you then. Like, there's definitely two of you. But you've just multiplied it, and now there's two end results.
But with files, it's a lot easier because the files are a tangible thing that's persisting over time. Whereas mm-hmm. the human
can think.
And also, our cells are dying and being replaced. So, I mean, another analogy is with a boat, right? Let's say you had a boat, and the back half of the boat was written off. It crashed, and it was replaced, right? And then 10 years later, the front half of the boat was written off, and it had to be replaced. Mm-hmm. Now, the entire boat is different.
Mm-hmm.
None of the original material in the first boat is in the existing current boat, but it's still the same thing?
That's different, okay. I don't think that is different. I think that's different because actually what would have to remain the same, I think in your analogy, what would be the case is you take a boat and you split, you take the engine and you make that engine twice and you put that engine in two different boats. Okay, so if you could duplicate an engine
and put it into two different boats,
the thing that keeps the boat running
mm-hmm.
is still very much there, and it's still the same thing.
But I think you're getting a bit hung up on my idea of splitting it in two, and kind of veering away from what I originally wanted to get at, which is that the idea of persistence. So this boat, let's say that it's called, I don't know, the Spirit of Life. It's the Spirit of Life is still the Spirit of Life, even though none of the parts in the original Spirit of Life are even existing anymore. They've all been sent to scrap.
But I thought you were saying...
But it's almost like the idea of the boat is what keeps it whole.
Well, surely, to put it back to humans, that thing is a brain. The brain is okay, the same thing, and the brain has got the memory, and the brain has got the intelligence that you have.
This was brought up in the TV series Black Mirror. I don't know if either of you have watched it. But basically what happened was is that a guy died in it. And then through all of his... There was a program that you could link to. And what it would do was scan through all of your emails, all your Facebook statuses, your Twitter, all your social media, anything you'd ever put online, and work out how you talk.
Right.
And then basically the woman that lost her boyfriend then starts talking to him online.
Mm.
And of course... That just had prior knowledge, and it was a learning. It was like artificial intelligence, so it was a computer program that started to learn. Then it goes one step further, and then it takes all the audio files and all video files of him, so it can train to learn its voice. And then it has like eventually it has this package that turns up at a door, which is just a kind of blank canvas human body. And then it basically generates itself into him and looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically she just freaks out because the computer can't replicate exactly what he was.
Mm-hmm.
It can get pretty close, but it can't replicate it. So,
but that's because it's clearly a fake him.
No, but the point is that through the he learns from the experiences that he's having there and then,
mm-hmm.
and learns through it. And that's the point, is that you wouldn't be the same person because you've started again and you're in a different body. I mean, this is a computer program in the TV show, but essentially that person can never be the same person because it's a different body, which means that your physical experiences, what I meant about the NFL thing is that all of a sudden you would be super fit and you'd have an urge, your physical urge would be to work out and keep your body fit.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were me, you'd just turn into someone that's quite lazy and just being like, yeah, whatever. You know? And I think that's the difference, is that from that point, from that line that you transfer the data,
uh-huh.
I think that you are essentially, you have the prior knowledge of that person, but everything on from there you would experience in a different way because you're in a different
situation.
Yeah, but isn't situation. That just an extreme way of saying that every time you take a breath you're a completely different person?
No.
How is that any different? Just but like, it's one extreme of saying if you suddenly became an NFL player but you still had a persistent,
because your physicality changes drastically.
But why does it have to be drastic? That's my point. Is that it's just a drastic because it makes it seem more obvious.
So you're saying if you put your brain into two people that were about the same height and physicality as you?
No, I'm saying that even just the process of taking a single breath,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to say exactly what it is that's persisting over time that is you with a capital Y. And I think it's almost impossible to show how we persist over time. And in actual fact, I don't think you can say that we are the same people that started the podcast, or even the same. I'm the same person that started this sentence.
That's freaking me out.
Hello, this is the Fancy Sword Show. How can we help you?
Thought of the day. Okay, so thought of the day is mine this week because I had a pretty amazing experience yesterday.
Go on.
I was in Regent's Park with a friend just hanging out, and I left my phone on the bench. And then about 10 minutes later, I realised that I'd lost it. So obviously I went back, was searching frantically, and I think I was freaking out. A lot of the people sat on the benches being like, have you seen my phone? Are you sat on it? Obviously they weren't. And then I went around the coffee shops, and there were even like policemen walking around the park, and I asked them, and obviously no one had picked it up. So I came home and I spoke to my flatmate, and I was about to cancel my contract when he suggested that we start calling it. And I think we must have called it 3 or 4 times, and eventually someone did actually pick up. And not only did the guy bring it back to my house, but he actually refused my offer of giving him money to say thank you for it.
How kind.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's really lucky.
Yeah, there are some decent humans out there.
I wasn't sure about that until yesterday, actually.
I'm still not sure that they're actually there. Like, I had my
phone... make-believe.
Well, I had my phone nicked on Saturday night.
Okay.
And this is a weird coincidence. Both of you losing your phones.
You say nicked, Beavs.
Alright, look, at the end of the night, I was in a kebab shop. I was definitely texting a mate of mine. And then between the kebab shop and getting into a cab, it disappeared.
So were you sober?
What? I'd had 1 or 2 ales. That was all. But the point is like, it was there. And the reason that I think it was nicked rather than I just lost it is that generally, nowadays, you can't really steal newer phones.
I thought you were going to say, generally nowadays you can't claim insurance if something you lose it. The reason why I think it was nicked is because generally nowadays insurance won't pay if you lose it.
But the fact is, like, if you found a phone, I don't know, any normal human being, I think, would plug it back in and wait, and either you've got Find My iPhone or you'll wait for someone to call. If it doesn't have a lock on it, you'll try and call someone back.
I don't know, dude. I reckon it's pretty easy to just turn it off and sell it to a shop for half the price.
Well, I don't know, but, like, it's something that I do, like, I've done before. Like, I found a guy's phone in the bar, I took it home, plugged it in so that it was charging, and then when he
couldn't get it to work with his SIM card.
No, I, like, because I just don't see the point. It's more of a hassle with losing all your, like, text messages, contact.
Did you have it backed up on iCloud?
I've got my phone backed up on iCloud.
Cool, yeah. So you can at least get all that information.
Yeah, no, the information's there, but it's, like, the other annoying thing was that when I phoned up O2 after being told that I'd had definitely been insured on it, it turns out that I wasn't insured. So,
well, you missold PPI.
No, and if those people ever call me again on my new phone that I get, honestly, the other day someone called me and they're like, "You've been missold PPI from our records." So I waited and, like, started talking to the woman, mm-hmm. and she was like, "So, have you had any loans or anything?" I was like, "I don't know. You called me." And she was like, "Well, I need to get some information." I was like, "No, I'm on your records. You told me that I've been missold it. Can you just tell me what loan it was on?" And she was like, and then she ended up hanging up on me.
She hung up on you. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I now just wind people up, you know, when they call me. It annoys me so much. And every time I asked it, opt out as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, just get me off the system.
They don't really care, though. It's a numbers game for them. They call 10,000 people and one person says yes. Yeah. At least it's a person and not an automated robot trying to sell you something without even being a human being on the end of the line.
Yeah, I've been getting quite a few calls recently from an automated phone call which says, you are owed your refund. I'm afraid we don't have the right bank details to send it through. And you sort of listen for a while and you're like, no, this has just got to be bullshit. Anyway, I googled the number and sure enough, a lot of people have had the same phone call.
Yeah, it's definitely a scam. If any robot is asking for your bank details, definitely a scam. It's like someone rings up with a Nigerian voice saying, "I'm a prince and I've got 15 squillion pounds in a bank account. I just need £1,000 from you to unlock it."
No worries. Send it your way now.
Just need your long card number and the three numbers on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think there are some good people out there. I was in Mombasa for New Year and I was at a big rave with probably about, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people. And in the port-a-loo, must have left my phone. And I realised about an hour later and phoned it. And sure enough, someone answered and said, "Yeah, meet me here and I'll hand it back to you."
Amazing.
That's Which really is something cool. you wouldn't expect anywhere, but particularly in, you know, Mombasa or something.
Yeah. Why is that?
shut up, Jordan, you dick.
The only good side to my story of my phone disappearing is that the girl that sold me the phone in the store, I phoned up the store today and I said, "Look, you know, you told me that I had insurance." And she's like, "Yeah, you do have insurance." So I was like, "Well, check my account, because I phoned up O2 online mm-hmm. and they've said that I don't have it." And she said, "All right, let me check." And then she phoned me back about 20 minutes later on a friend's phone. And she was like, "Look, it's showing that you don't have insurance, but I definitely told you that you do have it, so basically I just need to figure out how we go about this to get you your phone back."
Oh, nice.
So at least she didn't go, "Oh, I'm going to get in trouble, so I'm just going to lie," because it would be my word against hers, yeah. and it's me battling O2 then.
Yeah.
And she's actually, you know, actively said, yeah.
That's nice.
So that's, I suppose, one good side of it.
Well, that's maybe the thought of the day, is that there are good people out there.
Yeah, believe it or not.
And one bastard who nicked my phone.
I don't think it was nicked, mate. I think pickpocketing is extremely difficult.
Yeah, I still think...
I'll tell you this much. That when I was in the bar with Jack Taylor,
mm-hmm.
we were stood there, and I turned around, and he was just sitting on an iPhone, and I looked at it, and I was like, "Oh my God, mate, I've got the same home screen as you," and then went to reach in my pocket, and he had my phone in his hand. So he pickpocketed
me. So he nicked it.
He probably. Actually, I never even asked him that. I just said, "I lost my phone." He went, "Oh, that shit."
Yeah. 2 weeks from now, he'll be like, "I've got a really nice new iPhone."
Yeah. If he has a new iPhone, I'm going to kick him in the head.
And look at this. It came with a screensaver of a ginger guy.
So that was episode 3, season 2. Hope you enjoyed it. I think we want people to check us out on Twitter, don't we?
Yeah, Twitter, I think. Let's try and get our Twitter. We've hit 102 people now on our Facebook
nice
thing, so that's good. We're that's two people in the last 2 weeks, so...
Yeah.
So it's just slow.
That's not good, because to all my friends who are listening, I have invited every single one of them to like it, and two people in the last 2 weeks means that I've got a very small amount of friends. 0.2% of my friends have said they like my page.
That's not a good conversion rate.
No. Although we have got mutual friends.
Yeah. Oh,
that's so excuse. I want to claim some of yours.
But for anyone who does want to find us on social media, we're very easy to find. We are The Fancy Sauce Show, and we are Fancy Sauce Show on Twitter. We're Fancy Sauce Show on Facebook. You can't miss us.
And we're on fancysauceshow.com.
Exactly.
So we're trying to kind of move the website forward as well.
Yeah, check us out. Let us know what you think.
But come and comment. Comment yeah. and like and share.
So, that's it for this week. Bye for now.
Ciao.
See you later.